Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thank you, Don. It's 10:09. This is John Williams in the Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. We're here some Saturdays from 10 to noon. Northwestern football preempts us now and again. What a sad game that was last night.
Oh, boy.
You knew that Ohio State was maybe on paper better than Northwestern. They proved it on the field, too. That's tough.
Six straight games allowing 10 or less points for the Ohio State Buckeyes.
They're a really good football team.
They are a really good football team. And yeah, seven straight, all seven wins this year have been at least by 23 or more points. That wasn't even their biggest win last night.
So we got that going for us.
Yeah.
I don't mean to open the show with nothing but lamentations, but I'm also kind of sorry to see such nice, great fall baseball weather, and we don't have a team playing baseball right now. I mean, I'm rooting for the Nationals these days, but oh, if this were the Cubs, this would be so much fun! And I'm kind of missing it. I'm missing it. The two big hot topics on the show this week were, well, there were actually several. We had a busy day on the radio, and it's always nice of Lou Manfredini to shine a light on my show. I appreciate that. Lou's busy and talented enough. He doesn't need to do that for me, but I'll take it. And the teacher strike sure was a big deal. Lots of texts about that. And our news click I will talk about with you guys in just a minute is, should they continue extracurricular activities during the strike? Yeah, the football playoffs, soccer, lacrosse, things like that, they're not able to play now in the Chicago public school system. Imagine you did two-a-days in August, football, practicing, getting ready. There aren't that many games in your high school career or in a given season. And then the teachers go on strike. And so for that reason, you can't play. I think you should still be able to play. The coaches still get paid, by the way. That's an annual stipend they get. So the coaches are going to get paid whether the games are played or not. And frankly, I think most of the coaches would do it for nothing because they're in it with the kids, too. I don't see why they don't. That's our news click at WGNradio.com. If you like me on Facebook, you'll see it there. And my name on Facebook is WGN King John. Vote there and tell us what you think. Should they be playing the games or not? Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe they shouldn't. Some folks feel that way. The other topic that got a lot of attention this week didn't have anything to do with anything like that. It was the story about the kid who tried to pass off a super bad ID that said McLovin to get beer in Iowa. Did you follow this story? So Superbad's the 2007, I'm reading its wiki now, coming-of-age saga starring Jonah Hill, Michael Cera, Emma Stone, Bill Hader.
Important. Seth Rogen, too, yeah.
Important film.
Is it regarded as an important film, Griffin, or is it just a great, fun film?
I've always dubbed it as our generation's Animal House.
Nice. Well, like in that case, it's an important film.
It's much better than Animal House, first of all.
Here we go.
don't besmirch it with that title. This is a movement in movie comedy, the Apatow, Seth Rogen sort of world of production and writing. And this is, by far the best movie that came out of that. You look back at a lot of those, and it's like, God, I loved it at the time, but they're all like 2 hours and 15 minutes. They're way too long. And just they hold up well, but not great, except Superbad, which is just incredible. And Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I'd say.
Well, you watch some of the scenes in this, and you forget how funny that was. I'm like, I want to sit down and watch the whole movie Superbad. It's in the news because there is this kid who went to buy booze in Iowa. He was caught with a drink in his hand at a bar. The cops show up. They eventually get into his wallet, and he shows him the ID, and it says McLovin, Hawaii, on his ID, which is exactly what happened in the film. Hill and Sarah's characters, Seth and Evan, are high school seniors. They're hell-bent on partying. They want to lose their virginity before they go off to college. They rely on their pal, Fogel, played by Christopher Mintz-Plasse. Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah.
To buy booze with his fake ID, which contains but one name, McLovin.
Wait, you changed your name to McLovin? McLovin? What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogel? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?
Oh, they let you pick any name you want when you get down there.
And you landed on McLovin?
Yeah, I was between that and Muhammad.
Why would it be between that or Muhammad? Why don't you pick a common name like a normal person?
Muhammad is the most commonly used name on Earth.
Fogel, have you ever actually met anyone named Muhammad?
Have you actually ever met anyone named McLovin?
All right. You look like a future pedophile in this picture, number one. Number two, it doesn't even have a first name. It just says McLovin.
What? One name? One name? Who are you, Seal?
Fogel, this ID says you're 25 years old. Why wouldn't you just put 21, man?
Seth. Every day, hundreds of kids go into the liquor store with their fake IDs, and every single one says they're 21. How many 21-year-olds do you think there are in this town?
Let's stay calm, okay? Let's not lose our heads. It's a fine ID. It's gonna work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible. I mean, it's up to you, Fogel. This guy's either gonna think, here's another kid with a fake ID, or here's McLovin, the 25-year-old Hawaiian organ donor. Okay, so what's it gonna be?
I am McLovin.
First of all, let's give it up to Griffin for some very good editing.
Yes.
How many swears had to be cut out of that little cut?
I was grimacing at a few of the lines.
I said, Griff, before you play that, I want to hear it again. We cannot screw up on this.
I've listened to it like twice in the last 7 minutes, and I still wasn't sure. I was still like, I don't know.
You keep expecting it.
Oh, man. There's some great lines in there.
That's wonderful.
That movie is still the funniest movie I've seen in theaters. Like, my experience watching it in theaters is second to none in terms of the crowd laughing.
Yeah.
And we were the perfect age, too.
Yes.
Yep.
But
those of you in your
20s
and early 30s, maybe.
That was a huge deal.
Well, it was a coming out party for Jonah Hill as an actor, and I think Seth Rogen as a writer, too.
Absolutely. No, it was a nexus of so many things. Yeah. Seth Rogen was just taking his place as like a huge Hollywood star already, but then producer and writer. And he's still super prolific and powerful in Hollywood. And then Jonah Hill as his first starring role. Now he's, you know, one of the biggest actors of the last 10 years.
Well, the movie worked for those of us who are still in our 50s for a few more hours. That, you know, anybody who ever tried to use a fake ID in high school or college knows that whole conversation. We weren't as funny in Manuka and Joliet when my friends and I were doing that. But, I mean, that's the experience. So we were talking about it on the radio this week and just got flooded with text messages. That was the other hot topic then. Once we just read this story, was people saying, okay, here's my story. Steve Bertrand said that his most recent story of getting carded is that he was buying groceries at Mariano's and they were running all the stuff through and the wine came up and the lady looked at him and said, I need to see your ID. Well, Steve's in his mid-50s. And Steve said, oh, you've got to be kidding me. You know, Steve has some gray hair. She goes, no, it's the rule. We got to see an ID before we sell you alcohol. Steve had his ID in his wallet. He was so ticked off at that he said, then fine, take the wine off the belt. I won't buy the wine. I said, you mean the distance from your rear end to that person's eyes was going to so frustrate you that you'd said, no, I'm not going to take the beer or wine?
I don't want to beat up on Steve.
Oh, I don't mind.
He's not here to defend himself.
Fair enough.
It's a total non-alcoholic move right there.
But
I know, really, because I'll tell you what, that's happened to me before, too. I want the wine.
Totally.
The wine is there for a reason, Jack.
Your problem is not with that employee. It is with the person who instituted this policy. And guess what? You're not going to be able to talk to them right now. It does nothing to hassle this person who's working at the grocery store.
This text poured in, hey, John, I'm a 34-year-old and accidentally let my driver's license expire this summer. I went to get groceries and a bottle of wine with my girlfriend and our one-year-old baby. The clerk would not accept my expired license, so I offered to show my girlfriend's license. The clerk refused to accept that because we were paying with my credit card and the ID has to match the credit card. So I said, okay, I bought the groceries and asked for cash back, handed the cash to my girlfriend to let her buy the wine with her ID, and the clerk told us that we couldn't do that either. This is a store that does not want to sell wine.
Yeah, that's a guy taking his job way too seriously.
I know, I was just hating on Steve for doing that, but actually I do have a similar experience. I was at a Cubs game on my 25th birthday, and my license expired on that day. And I was like, I'm an idiot, so I didn't have it renewed or whatever. And I guess it expires at midnight, so I thought I could get that day.
You had that,
but they were like, no, it's... And I said, it's my birthday.
I know.
And they said, nope.
That doesn't work.
And they enforce it, too. Like, you can't get a beer then.
No, well, I've been the victim of that, too.
John, I had guests from Budapest staying with me. They're in their 50s. Jewel wouldn't sell them a bottle of wine because they did not have a valid Illinois driver's license. They were stunned. John, I hate it when the store has a sign saying we card everyone who looks under 40, and they don't card me. That's reverse. John, I work at Walgreens. We have to follow rules. When I buy wine as an employee, they card me and have to be on camera matching the picture to me. I'm 50 years old. So stop taking out your attitude on minimum wage employees. That's it. That's it. The end of the day, you can be mad at that person, but it's, I told Steve, it's that person's job, right? It's like Griff said, you can't be mad at that person. You can be mad at the store. Now, maybe that person could look the other way and say, oh, I know you're 60 or 50, but I'm more sympathetic to that person than Steve was.
Well, the circumstance you brought up about, all right, let's figure out this method of how we can obtain this wine by taking cash out, handing it to the woman who's also clearly of age.
Right.
That's a point where, okay, like, yes, we understand the situation. Let's figure this out. I totally get not bashing on the clerks for doing their job. I totally agree. It's their job.
Yeah, they're between a rock and a hard place. It's 10:20. My number is 312-981-7200. You can always call or text in. A few sound bites from our friend Teddy Roosevelt in this hour. A week ago, he and I were on stage, did a swell show. I want you to hear a little of that. So we'll play a little of that for you. Teddy Roosevelt on stage at Elgin Community College last Saturday. We'll put that on before 11 o'clock. And also, what's your take on the teachers' strike? Specifically the News Click question, which says, should they or should they not? Maybe this will be our Vibe Score segment, guys, at 11:50, but I'll ask you this now. Where are you on the kids playing football or soccer or going to a band event? If it's an extracurricular activity, the teachers are on strike, kids don't get to do it. Should they relax that and still let the teacher coaches or teacher mentors, whatever the relationship is between the teacher coaches and the students, should they relax that? Let them do their thing. I think that's an easy one. Teachers are rallying. Even as we speak in Douglas Park down in Chicago, Don Kleppen does the news in about 5 minutes. Afterwards, Teddy Roosevelt says hi. Oh, and then there's a really cool, I didn't know much about this, but I guess it's the third year in a row now for a Halloween parade downtown Chicago tonight. This is neat. I'll tell you about that in the next half hour, as well as running through some of the places you might check out at Open House Chicago, the annual weekend of visiting places you don't normally get to visit in the city is here. We'll tell you about that after the 10:30 news. Hey, Mary Jane, this is John. You're on WGN. Hi.
Yes, John, I am just fine. I tried to get in touch with you the other day. Yes, I was telling them I was in my 80s, excuse me, and I went to a birthday party for my grandson's wife. And it was at a club restaurant sort of thing, you know, and when I walked in there, I am a little old lady with gray hair and wrinkles, and he said, I see your ID. I said, pardon me? He said, rules, I have to see your ID. I almost fell over. I've been carded in my life. And on the other side of the picture, when I was probably about 15, I lied about my age to get a driver's license. But that was way before you were born. That was probably 1945 or something like that, yes. Mm-hmm. So I tried to make myself older one time. Yes, I did.
That's what
but
you
not
get.
For drinking purposes. I wanted to get that driver's license. I had to have that in my hand. Mm-hmm.
Did you, when in your 80s at the granddaughter's thing, did you find your ID? Did you get your
Yes, I always carry my driver's license. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing, and I didn't drink because I was driving. So then, you know, you can't drink and drive, especially at that age. So, yes, if I'm driving, I don't drink at all.
Mary Jane, thank you for the phone call. By the way, Steve Bertrand is listening, and he sent in a text, and he said, I'm not mad at those people. I'm mad at those rules at those places. I said, call in. Steve said, didn't want to call in.
He's not mad at you, John. He's just mad at the rules.
The rules, yeah. Yeah. Hey, Pat, you're on WGN. Jump in there. What did you want to say, Pat?
To tell you, when I was 40, on my 40th birthday, I was going through a nasty divorce, and we had a bad day in court that morning. So I stopped at the Jewel and got myself some wine coolers. The gal at the checkout, she tells me, I'm sorry, you don't look old enough. I need to see your ID.
Nice.
And I looked at her. I looked at her. I said, lady, you just made my day. I whipped out my ID. I gave it to her. She looks at it. She looks at me and she says, you can't be that old. I'm that old.
You needed that. Thanks for the call. News is next on WGN.
Thank you, Don.
Did you guys see this week one of the things that the city council is considering is the mayor's proposal that they increase the tax on ride shares if you are in an Uber or a Lyft and you come into the downtown?
Yes, so, starting or ending rides, starting or beginning downtown, that fee bump.
It's amazing. Now, it would be for the city of Chicago, but then if you come downtown where the congestion is worse, then it's even more. And downtown is not just the Gold Coast or the Mag Mile. It's more broadly drawn. It's a big swath of the city where you might go if you were going to eat out or go do something fun, see a show, whatever. And they're going to raise it $2.28 more. It'll go from 72 cents to $3 a tax per ride in an Uber or a Lyft. You get in, it'll be $3 just for saying hello.
And that's for individual riders, correct?
Yeah, right. If you ride with somebody and you're in the city, it'll actually go down a little bit. If you go into the core, the downtown zone, then it'll go up about 50 cents rather than $2.50. So they're really encouraging you to share a ride in the ride share programs, which nobody wants to do. You guys don't share rides, do you? Or do you share a ride with the ride share program?
I'm not too proud to do the ride share program.
Oh, I'm totally too proud.
I think this depends on the mood,
you are too.
I just have more money. Go ahead, Griff.
I was going to put it more delicately and say that you're at a different stage in your career.
Well played, sir.
Either way.
Yes, well, apparently not.
It's kind of hilarious to hear you say, you don't ride share, do you? Yeah, of course.
Everybody shares rides with ride share?
Many people do. If you're not in a hurry, like if I got a deadline at work, I usually go individual just because I need to be there at a certain time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, it's also, you do have flexibility.
Yeah, and it's also true. I try to avoid using it unless it's like I'm late.
Totally.
So, you know, you wouldn't, that kind of means that the only time I use it is if I'm like rushing somewhere and then I won't use the Lyft share. You know what I mean? But the shared ride.
And yeah. Actually, yeah. John, it's not too different. You take the bus, don't you?
I take the L every day.
Yeah, you do CTA. So, I mean, it's essentially the same. You're just not sitting in a compact car with strangers rather than on a giant moving vehicle.
I usually have my nose in somebody's armpit when I'm riding to work.
And that's just by choice. It's weird.
Two people on the car, and I got my nose down there. Yeah, it's really awkward. So she's suggesting that. And, you know, the trade is that while it'll cost you more, we'll have fewer cars on the road. It's a congestion. It's a revenue issue. They're making money. They're going to make $40 million on this. But it'll also ease some of the traffic because there'll be fewer people maybe taking rides if they tax them that way. Or it'll force people into the shared rides the way you guys do.
And I'm sorry, the city is getting that profit of
yeah.
the tax increase? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But let me ask you guys this. When you hit shared ride on your rideshare program, how often does that Uber actually pick up somebody else? How often do you actually share a ride? Like a lot of times, I mean, doesn't this happen? You do that, but they don't actually, nobody else signed up for
that? I don't do it that often, but I want to say about 80%.
No, it would have to be a weird time for them to not get somebody else.
You usually are sharing the ride with
Absolutely.
Somebody.
Usually, yeah, totally. I'd say about 80, 85, something like that.
And you just say, hello, how are you? And then you just, do you chat with that person?
If that. Sometimes you keep the headphones in, you give a little tip of the cap.
The driver sort of sets the standard. Sometimes they're like, hey, it's a party in here. I'm chatting with everybody. We'll try to mix it up.
Yeah.
More often than not, you just don't say anything. I think etiquette is to not say anything.
Right.
Well, it's that way on the L, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So last weekend we were at, and that has not happened yet. That's a proposal before the city. But I expect that will come, as well as, I mean, because guess what else they want to do? If you bring a car into the city, you're listening to me in Western Springs right now. If you bring your car into the city, they might charge you $12, 12 bucks or 10 bucks, some large amount like they do in London or New York. Where if you want to bring a vehicle in, you're going to pay just to come in and say hello. And then you're going to pay to park. So we'll see how that goes. So Teddy Roosevelt and I were on stage last weekend at Elgin Community College at the Blizzard Theater. And we talked about a bunch of things. The guy was on his game. He is our writingest president. Nobody wrote more than Teddy Roosevelt. He was also probably, as he was happy to point out, our readingest president.
I read a book a day. I mean, literally. So try that for a week. And in doing so, I could, and I love to write about books. And I wrote 155,000 letters. I wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of op-ed pieces and articles. And then the 40 books. And so I'm always talking about the books that I'm reading.
You didn't mention Anna Karenina.
Anna Karenina, of course, by Tolstoy. You bring it up because you know the story that I arrested some boat thieves in a citizen's arrest in Western Dakota Territory and marched them to justice. And it was a blizzard and it was almost impossible. The river was freezing and we were running out of food and I didn't know what to do. And I had to stay awake for like four straight days. Try that sometimes. Stay awake for four straight days in a blizzard. Because if I fell asleep, they would have absconded or worse. And I didn't know how I was going to stay awake. Well, I always travel with a book, and I happen to have with me, thank goodness, the just-finished English translation of Leo Tolstoy's Anna Karenina, the longest novel ever written. And I read it out loud to the boat thieves. I read it out loud to them, and I'm sure they thought, just hang us, you know, just... Just get it over with. I read it, and I stopped from time to time to do some literary criticism. Because I don't like this Tolstoy. He's a great novelist, but he's writing about adultery. And here's another little comparison. No one on earth could swear ever that I had had a single adulterous moment in the whole history of my life. You know what I said? If you want to change the world, you had better be holier than Caesar's wife. If you want to be a mere congressman, do what you please. But if you want to change the world, you cannot give your enemies a handle with which to club you. And if you're seen in saloons or catting around with your neighbor's wives, your enemies are going to find that out and they're going to use it to destroy you. Yes. I like this audience. I know you disagree with some of what I've been saying, but don't you like it when somebody finally speaks in complete sentences and says what they mean? It doesn't matter that you don't agree with all my policies. You understand what my vision of this world is, and then you can decide how much of it fits you.
He did that when he was a cowboy out in the Dakotas. Eventually, he became the chief of police, if you will, for New York. It was a three-person commission. He was the only one that was taking that job very seriously, and he really did. So he wanted to tell us how he reformed the police.
I'm happy to say... First bicycle squad, first use of typewriters. Imagine that, first use of typewriters in the offices, first standardization of pistols. Up till then, every cop brought his own gun. No training, no common ammunition.
And then did you...
All that, I professionalized the New York City Police Force.
And then did you kind of skulk around at night or during the day and... monitor the cops to make sure they were doing their jobs?
Well, nobody skulks by day, sir, but at night, after a long day in the office, I would often put on a kind of a cloak, and I would walk through the city, and I would look for corrupt cops, cops that were sleeping, or cops that were with, may I call them, ladies of the night, cops that were taking bribes. I would come up on these cops and see them sleeping, or see them with a hooker, and I would say, I want you in my office at 9 a.m. tomorrow. They often challenged this, not knowing who I was. But when they came in, I said, that was your only warning. You have now been warned. If we ever again see that you have done any of these things, you will be without any other due process removed from this force at that moment. And because I was doing this, and because I have this, as you see, this sort of, what would you call it, over-the-top style. And I had large teeth, and people said I bit off my words. That there were cartoons in the dark of New York, and all you would see is big teeth. And they sold whistles that had a little thing on it, whistles of teeth, that people could blow to warn themselves that Roosevelt, they called me Harun al Roosevelt, after the character in the Arabian Nights.
We can't even get our cops to park legally at Cubs games. And he had a lot to say about a lot of things. A virtuous man, Teddy Roosevelt. It's 10:46 on WGN. We'll post that whole conversation as a podcast. I'm just cleaning it up a little bit, but we'll get that there for you to listen to with your friends and on your smart speakers next week. It's 10:46 on WGN. So a couple of things for you to do this weekend in Chicago. They have that Arts in the Dark. The Department of Cultural Affairs has this parade tonight. Let me tell you a little bit about that. And also the Open House Chicago weekend is this weekend. Some places you might want to see after this. 10:50 now on WGN. Open House Chicago. Two things to mention here. OpenHouseChicago.org is the website to go to find out more about the Open House Chicago weekend, where you can see some of the buildings that you don't normally get to see inside. 38 neighborhoods are represented this year, 350 buildings. I've just been looking at some of their websites. Downtown, the Cliff Dwellers Club is a century-old private club, 200 South Michigan Avenue. You can see it for free this weekend. I'm looking at interior shots. It looks spectacular. The Edgewater Beach Apartments I've been in, it's an icon in the Edgewater neighborhood. And that building is beautiful and fantastic and bizarre. They should make a movie in there or about there. In the Englewood neighborhood, the St. Benedict, the African Church, is an amazing thing to see. And in Garfield Park, Our Lady of Sorrows Basilica is magnificent on Jackson Boulevard. Italian Renaissance Revival style. In Lakeview, the Salvation Army College for Officer Training, I go by this building a lot, it looks impressive, was once a 14-bedroom mansion. They use it now. In Lincoln Park, the Elks National Memorial. You go by some of these places, you don't know what a treasure they are inside. It has this massive domed rotunda and ornate ceiling. In Logan Square, the Joinery is a unique wedding and events venue. By the way, Blair Kamen also has on his site, if you go to chicagotribune.com/Kamen, the Pulitzer Prize winning architecture critic for the Tribune, listed 10 places he really likes. You can't go to them all, but you can go to most of them. OpenHouseChicago.org. There's also Arts in the Dark this weekend, and Shireen Shariosity is on a phone line. President of the Light Up My Arts. Did I get all of that right? Shireen, how are you?
It was very good. Hi, John. I'm well. How are you?
Good. I'm glad you could join us. Tell me a little bit about what's going on downtown.
So this is the fifth year of this parade, and it is a Halloween parade, but it's very different from any other Halloween parade and I think any other parade in Chicago, in that it celebrates Halloween as the artist holiday. It's a curated procession of cultural organizations, individual artists, all different groups, every type of art form, people of all ages. And it's very spectacle-based. We have no waving politicians, no commercial floats. Oh. It's, giant puppets and beautiful performances. Yeah, it showcases Chicago's very diverse cultural community, and there are groups from all over the city.
I've never heard of a curated parade. You're right. We usually just get anybody with wheels gets to be in the parade.
Right.
This is
right.
A little different,
right.
It
and,
sounds like.
You know, we try not to be too strict, but we are very active in helping. You know, a lot of the organizations in our parade aren't organizations that you would typically see in a parade. For instance, the Chicago History Museum or even the Joffrey. So we work closely with groups to really help them create a spectacle that works moving down the street. And it's been wonderful to see over these past years the groups who have come back again and again, and every year they up their game. Every single year they learn from each year and they get better and better, so it's exciting to see that.
6 to 8 o'clock tonight, right?
6 to 8 o'clock tonight. We moved it last year, thanks to help from the Chicago Loop Alliance. We actually moved it from Columbus to State Street, so it is on State Street, starts at 6 p.m. It moves south from Lake to Van Buren.
South from Lake to Van Buren. So downtown, right. Just find State Street, and then you're in the loop and a little south of the core of the downtown there.
Right, right. Just almost right at the edge. Our staging area is Wacker, so it sort of steps off right at that north edge of State Street on the south side of the river.
Just give me, I have a minute, to describe, you mentioned some of the participants, but describe one of the floats or performers. Tell me about something I'll see going down the street.
So one thing that I think is really exciting is we have a group called Kalapriya, and they are celebrating the 150th birthday of Gandhi, and they'll have a float that will have a giant blob of Gandhi with flowers around it, and then 50 to 100 young dancers following behind it dressed in traditional Indian costume. So we have various cultural groups. We have, you know, the Joffrey Ballet will be dancing down the street. We have people from Full Moon Jam and Burn Chicago, and so the kind of finale is fire spinning and a fire dragon at the end. And this year, the theme is the Year of Chicago Theater that the city deemed.
Right.
So the parade is actually being led. We were lucky enough to get a grant from the Cultural Affairs Department. And so we were able to then support 14 Chicago theater companies that will lead the procession. So that's really exciting.
Is there going to be music in the parade, too?
Music, dancing, spectacle puppets. It's everything. It's sort of a mix of Mardi Gras, Carnival, you know, with a very Chicago spin to it. It's really unlike anything else. Yeah. And it's very family friendly.
How many years have you been doing this?
So this is year five.
Shame on me. I haven't been down to this one before.
Well, please come down tonight, and it's good weather.
Yeah,
so
no kidding.
That's always the big question, right?
Tell me about it. Shireen Shariatzadeh. Okay, so this is the Arts in the Dark. Is that what it's called, this parade?
And Arts in the Dark Halloween Parade.
6 to 8 o'clock tonight down State Street, downtown. So get a spot to park and then head on over there, take in the lights and the sights of the city. I love this cultural bent, too. What a clever idea. My best to everybody. Shireen, thanks for your time and congratulations in advance.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me, and hope to see you there and all of your audience there tonight.
That's the idea. It's coming up on 1057 WGN Radio News. Don Kleppen will do that from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And then we'll, as always, on Saturday, play back just a little of the Mincing Rascals podcast. We'll broadcast a little bit of that. And then we got a lot to kick around in our Vibe Score segment, where we take a look at some of the stories in the news that we haven't had a chance to talk about. And we'll ask a question about them and score them on a scale of 1 to 100. That may not make sense to you now, but trust me, it'll be a lot of swell fun. That's all coming up after the news. Oh, and don't forget the news click at WGNradio.com. We're asking you if you think the kids should be participating in sports now that the strike is going on. 11:09 on WGN. Thank you, Don. You know, I got a gift card from my sister-in-law for Chick-fil-A for my birthday. My birthday's today. She's a nice lady. She sent me a Chick-fil-A card because I walk by this one downtown all the time, and I just love those sandwiches.
Problematic.
I know. Some people won't eat them.
Problematic. Alarm's going off.
I know. Red flag. I do not want to live in a world where my decision about chicken sandwiches is made over LGBTQ issues, but that's happening out there. I mean, everything is political. You can't eat a chicken sandwich.
You're done.
I was listening to Steve Bertrand's Business Lunch this week, and he mentioned, or one of his guests did, the top three restaurant chains in America. What do you think the biggest restaurant chain in America is?
Subway.
McDonald's.
McDonald's is one.
Subway in top three?
Negative.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Starbucks.
Starbucks is number two.
Yeah.
Listen to that clip. Was it your newscast, Kleppen? You're cheating if it was.
No, I did. I saw this article. I did some, was it the opening bell on Monday or Tuesday?
Well, then you're cheating. Being informed is unfair on this show.
You're right.
McDonald's won. Starbucks is in that category, so you might not see that coming. I'll forgive you. And number three is Chick-fil-A, which, you know, whatever happened to Burger King or, I don't know, or Subway, but
this is regional. I mean, I know it's a nationwide thing, but they got way more of them in other places in the country, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, definitely what it is.
And Popeyes has not brought back those sandwiches everybody was losing their minds over, right?
That's the weirdest thing that's ever happened.
How foolish.
I know. They were the victims of their own success, but I think they sort of lost the momentum because I was kind of jonesing. I've never had one of those sandwiches. I thought, all right, I'll give her a try.
Well, nobody had, yeah.
And now I haven't, I still haven't had one, and now I've kind of lost the urge. You know, they haven't got them back in the stores.
I have so many questions about that can be answered by a Google instead of just talking about them here, so we can move on.
Just give me an example of what you're worried about.
Why don't they?
Why don't they have more sandwiches? Well, because I mean, I did hear an interview with the CEO of Chick-fil-A, and he said to say quick. Pardon me, thank you, Griffin. To just say quick, make more sandwiches. The production on the scale that you need. It's like, okay, quick, grow a hen. You got to like get more chickens, and then you've got to get the seasonings and the sauces and put in bags, and it gets done at a central place and then shipped out all around the country. And it's not just Timmy in the back going, all right, I'll make another sandwich.
Did quick, they make 10?
Give me some chicken.
They make 10 and they're like...
We could use some Popeye's Labs to, you know, breed perfectly seasoned chickens. Just cut down some of this time.
Cut down a step, yeah.
I will do whatever it takes.
Feed.
I think you may have to stay past 5, Popeye's, you know, corporate.
I don't think it's that. I think it's more a question of literally having chickens.
I know.
What was the movie where they said, okay, great idea. Henry Winkler was saying it into his tape recorder. Feed the mayonnaise to the tuna. And then when
it's disgusting
and then or the chicken. And then anyway, when you get it, it'll already be ready to go. You'll have like a tuna salad right there. It was some bold idea. So if you just fed the seasoning, is this where you're going, Kleppen?
Yes.
Feed the seasoning to the chickens. You've skipped a step.
Yeah. You get the genes in there. Breed them so that they're like peppery and lemon and they're just born that way.
I'm getting flooded with texts from animal rights groups.
They're gonna like it too.
It would make you a little nervous, though, if you were a chicken and you went, boy, I smell lemony and buttery. This doesn't look good for me. I smell peppery. It's a 10-12 on 11-12 on WGN. The Mincing Rascals podcast that I hope you listen to. You can just say to your smart speaker, play the Mincing Rascals podcast. You can also just type that in on Spotify or check it out at WGNradio.com. But anyway, it's the best podcast in the States, said the Illinois Broadcasters Association, because people like Steve Bertrand chime in on our round table. Eric Zorn, the Chicago Tribune columnist. This week, we were also joined by our Justin Kaufman and Lisa Donovan from the Chicago Tribune. We were talking about the teachers' strike. Justin Kaufman was pretty much fighting with everybody. I think the room was more leaning one way. Justin did a good job to make points the other way about the teacher's strike. The first voice you hear here is from the Tribune's Lisa Donovan.
The history of this is that you had two mayors, Daley and Emanuel, exerting, and even before that, exerting sort of, we're running the schools. And now the teachers are saying no. They're saying no, we're on the front lines. We know what's best for our kids.
And I just want to say, we say, hey, hey, ho, ho, Lori Lightfoot's got to go. This woman won the mayoral election earlier this year, 3-1.
That's every ward.
Over the candidate that was backed by the Chicago Teachers Union that is ostensibly standing up for all of these values that they think the public stands behind them on. I think the reality here is that the city and the schools don't have enough money to do all the things that the teachers want to have done and that should be done in an ideal world. But you can't. We don't have. We're $838 million in the hole.
The city is,
and you just don't have the money to hire all these wraparound staff for all these schools, especially some of these schools that don't have very many students in them anymore.
It's bogus, though, man.
It's bogus because
I hear so many different ways that they are spinning this. One is they don't want to put it in writing because if they don't put in nurses and social workers and they don't have enough applicants, then they'll be on the hook and they'll have to go there. No, wait, never mind. It's about money. It feels to me like they don't have a salient sort of narrative that the city is pushing. They keep trying different things.
Wait, who doesn't have
it? The city doesn't. The idea of why they can't do this. And they want, it's easy to sell the story on money, but it isn't about money because what they said, I don't want to be on the hook. So if we say we're going to have this many social workers and we can't get these many social workers because they're not applying, they could take them to court. The union could take them to court if it's in writing. That's not a money issue. That's something different. So I'm like, which one is it?
Well, the other side of it is too, that I've heard that side too, Justin. The other side is that the teachers don't want to the union officials don't want to put this in writing either because you can't strike on these issues. You put this in writing, you set yourself up for a court fight. Now, listen, Lori Lightfoot does not want to do that. We know that. She said that. She does not want to look like some kind of a bad guy taking this to court. against the teachers. And also, you don't want to tie it up. That could drag this thing out for eons.
But Justin, I get what you're saying, but where does the money come from?
I don't know. I don't know where the money is. But I will say this: we were just in this studio 2 months ago talking about head scratching about how much money was given to Lincoln Yards for subsidies and development. We're in this thing talking about the 78. We're talking about other developments and how much money there's going to be coming in for this, that, and the other. And so I see where the teachers are coming from, saying there's always money for something else. But when we get to the idea of trying to get equity on the table, the politicians go, "There's just no money."
What does that mean, equity on the table?
Saying, okay, black and brown communities and their schools don't have, so as John pointed out eloquently, the idea that they're in the state of Illinois, there are thousands and thousands of kids per one social worker. That usually, if you go to a Northside, nice Gold Coast kind of school, that's not an issue. If you go down to Inglewood and other places, they do have a problem where they have kids whose lives are on the line because of Chicago violence or whatever it is, and there's no social worker, one social worker for nine schools. That's not right. Now, maybe by law you can't do that, and Emanuel tried to set up all those laws and say you can't do it, but at a certain point in society, we've got to put a mirror on
the
and say,
union also, yeah. The union says that the city's budget and the school district's budget are different budgets. Elif and I had a conversation off the air moments ago with some executives in the union, and they were adamant that to say the city is broke is a moot point because the city's budget and the school's are different budgets.
But the TIF money that we're talking about with Lincoln Yards is supposed to be a different pool of money, too. But they're saying that you can pull money from that. And it's not just sitting there in some bank account. The TIF money is money that is...
They're angry that the city is not allocating that money as it should.
Where's the money going?
The origins of this money was supposed to go to schools.
I am just a guy standing here.
Was that it was supposed to go to schools. And the bottom line is, how long ago were we... CPS is talking about not being able to make payroll. I think they're getting there, but they're not in great financial straits themselves.
I agree with you, Steve, that it would be much better if they could, in good faith, stay in the class and come up with a negotiation. The one thing I would say against the Chicago Teachers Union is it does stink a little bit of politics. It stinks a little bit of our candidate lost. The statement they put out, Heather Sharon was on the show last night talking about the statement they put out the minute after Lori Lightfoot won for mayor was, "We're coming to get you." And there's a little bit of that. If that is at all a part of this, that their candidate didn't win and they're sticking it to Lori Lightfoot, they've lost me.
And what do you think Tony Preckwinkle would be doing right now? Do you think Tony Preckwinkle will be saying, "Yeah, I'll put this all in writing"? What was it that it was $2.4 billion that Lightfoot says, it, including all these wraparound services, in writing is going to put them on the hook for sure? She doesn't want to put it in writing, but she's committed to trying to expand that. That seems like.
But if you talk to any union official, especially or any teacher, they've heard this before. They've heard the idea from both Daly and Emanuel that said, "You know what? We can't put the money in writing, but you know what? Here's our handshake. It's on good faith," and then it disappears. Strike one, strike two. This is strike three. They don't trust them. I don't think it's Lightfoot. I think they just don't trust the city and the mayor because they've seen now over 20 years, every time they're promised something, it gets yanked out.
This is going to be sort of a seal the deal kind of moment. The optics of that, of having Lori Lightfoot at the table and she can't win, is akin to Barack Obama going over and lobbying for the Olympics and we lose. It's not good. It doesn't do anything for her. She's already losing a bit of power right now with them walking out of school. So she's definitely not going to do
Lightfoot
it.
Looks bad? This is her strike right now?
I think if she were to walk in and say, "Hey, I'm at the table," and then we have a 90-day strike.
And the fact is she's not the expert who should be negotiating.
She isn't. At the table. She's not facing those 40 people on the other side. She's not involved in the daily.
It looks like it might be another 7-day strike. Well, we'll go all next week, and then they'll go back in school the following Monday. That would be, if I had to predict, that's what I'd guess. But the question is, as this goes on, as this drags on, is the public? I felt the public was on the side of the teachers in 2012. I remember seeing lots of honking and waving and thumbs up to the teachers in 2012. Emanuel had yanked back their pay raise, and it really looked like the public was on their side. It was my sense, and it still is my sense, that the public is not really strongly behind the teachers. Now, they might be listening to Justin's show and hearing this stuff and saying, like, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I personally think that the teachers have a good point. You know, as I said, I think it would be ideal to have this kind of services in every school. They should.
I think you're right.
I got a 12-year-old in public schools. There is no way, as a parent, as trying to, you know, I'm just going to be objective, put my journalism hat aside. There's no way that I would ever be in any position to say, "You know what, you greedy teachers," after I watch what they do every single day. There's no way. And in 2012, Micah Utrecht wrote the book on the teacher strike. We were in day five. Day six, where people were out. They were put out. Everyone was put out, and you'd think that they'd be the worst. They did an exit poll, and it was overwhelming majority was still with the teachers.
Okay, I don't think that's going to be the case.
They said that in 2012, right. too.
Like, okay, I think what has to happen now is that any of these big developments that come down the pike, they've got to have a public face on and say, hey, X number of dollars is going to the schools. Y number of dollars is going to the schools. And we are going to go out in a press conference, and you are going to be on the hook for this.
And who's leaving themselves an exit strategy here? Lightfoot had a press conference Thursday morning, I think it was, where she was saying, we just don't have any money. We're like, this is it. We don't have the money for this. The offer's not going to get any better.
We're not moving any further on money because we can't.
Yeah.
The teachers have not indicated, like, well, maybe we'll give a little bit here. Somebody's going to have to give here because they're far apart right now, and the question I think becomes, what are people hearing? Is Lightfoot hearing, like, you know, Lori Lightfoot's got to go, or are they thinking these teachers? And I don't think people are saying they're greedy. I think you're saying that their expectations are admirable but unreasonably
that's
high.
Same. Yeah, okay.
Greedy.
No, it's not the same. No, I don't think they're greedy either, but I think they... I think they're striking.
Unreasonable?
Yeah, I don't think they should be striking for these reasons, yeah.
Okay.
I think Eric makes a good point, though, about having an exit strategy, and I think also a public relations strategy. If they come out and say, we figured this out because we're going to phase it in, which is what they're already talking about now, we're going to phase these things in, I think both get to get away with a victory.
I think Lisa Donovan had some good points there. So that's the Mincing Rascals podcast this week. It drops Thursdays a little after 5 o'clock in the evening. And I think Lisa Donovan's idea, she said it a moment ago, that any big project that comes into town, any major development that's going to get a lot of money from the city or the state, they need to say, by the way, this much money that we're getting is going to go to the schools, and then hold them to it. Maybe that would help. I like the sound of that. If we don't have money for the schools and teachers now, but we have money for all of these real estate ventures, maybe they ought to commit a little of that there. Well put, Lisa. You can hear the whole podcast. It dropped on Thursday. Wherever you hear your finer podcasts, search for the Mincing Rascals. Only two topics this week, the school strike and the week in Washington. Wow. It's 11:22 on WGN. The always clever and wise Don Kleppen suggested that one way to rush those Popeye's chicken sandwiches to market that we still don't have would be to feed the spices to the chickens.
Yeah.
And then it'd skip a step.
It's totally, it saves everybody time.
I'm telling you, this reminded me of a movie. So producer Griffin found it, and a few of you helped us out. The movie I'm thinking of is called Night Shift. It does star Henry Winkler, but the idea guy was Michael Keaton.
Tuna fish. What if you mix mayonnaise right in the can with the tuna fish? Hold it. Wait a minute, Chuck. Take live tuna fish and feed them mayonnaise. Oh, this is good. Call Starkist.
He's talking into his little tape recorder. Call Starkist. He's always got great ideas. First of all, what's a tape recorder? But anyway, it was a movie made in, I think, the early 1980s, maybe. Night Shift was fun. A very young Henry Winkler. And Michael Keaton, kind of a fun throwback there for you. It's 11:27 on WGN. You know, I've been telling you that Teddy Roosevelt was on stage with me. Our visit with TR at Elgin Community College last week was sponsored in part by two of our friends, Kelly Cruises, and also the folks at the Joint Relief Institute. Since the Joint Relief Institute was the sponsor of the event, and since I have to do a commercial for them now and again, I couldn't resist this. Hey, Colonel Roosevelt. I saw an article that listed 5 ways you cheated death.
Only 5?
You survived an assassination attempt, combat in Cuba, a boating injury that you haven't told us about, a cable car accident. Bandits left you for dead to freeze to death once.
Is my daughter Alice on that list? That child nearly killed me every day.
You must be weary, sir.
You charge up San Juan Hill a couple of times and tell me if you don't come down with a little knee pain.
Funny you should mention knee pain.
Say, you wouldn't happen to know a place that reduces joint pain using digital technology. I'd like someone to painlessly put a lubricant into the exact spot where my tissue has worn away.
Turns out I do know a place.
I'd like a quick, non-surgical, pain-free procedure, if you can think of one.
Actually, we have one for you, sir.
And hopefully they'll handle the insurance for me, too, with offices in Oak Brook and Orland Park.
Well, as it turns out...
A snappy phone number would be nice, too. We're getting one installed at Sagamore Hill, don't you know?
Well, then why don't you call the Joint Relief Institute at 708-888-0000.
As in zero pain?
As a matter of fact, yes, that's the number.
I say, you don't have their website, do you?
Funny you should ask. It's jointreliefinstitute.com.
No, I don't know what a dot com is, but it sounds bully.
Bully. All right.
Ah. Too many bottles of this wine we can't pronounce.
Is it my birthday?
Too many bowls of that green. No lucky charms. The maids come around too
much. Don't rap along.
Yeah, that's wise.
Parents ain't around enough. Too many joy rides in daddy's Jaguar. Too many white lies and white lines.
11:38.
Super rich kids with nothing but loose ends. Super rich kids with nothing but fake friends. Start my day up on the roof.
WGN, this is John Williams. On Saturdays at this time, we ask Griff to play us a song and tell us why. Because he has something to do with something in the news, some cultural currency. Why are you playing this one, Griff?
Well, the biggest news story in my world is that it's your birthday. Happy birthday.
So you know I love this song. It's one of my favorite songs.
Yes, but it actually has another tie that I want to get into.
I prefer that you find something else besides that.
But I did know you love this song. And yes, you could rap along. It was very impressive, but I appreciate your restraint.
Who are we listening to, Griff?
It's Frank Ocean. The song is called Super Rich Kids. It's from his first official album, Channel Orange.
Yeah.
Featuring Earl Sweatshirt. And you just love this song.
I really do.
I listen to
this song all the time.
Just a window into the psyche.
I don't know what it's a window into, but there I am. Yeah.
And by the way, a lot of texts saying happy birthday.
Thank you all.
He doesn't like to talk about it very much.
And I don't read the text line. I ask my producers to. Griffin's been insulating me from all your goodwill. Thank you all. I mean, just because I don't want to talk about my birthday. But it's my birthday, and you all are listeners, and many of you are good friends that way. We really appreciate that. So thank you for your kind words. Why else is Frank in the news?
Well, because Pitchfork just put together their best songs and albums, the best 200 songs and 200 albums list of the 2010s.
Yeah, I saw
it. This decade comes to an end.
This one comes in at about number 11, didn't it?
This song did not make the list, but a bunch of Frank... this album did. It was their number 10 album of the decade.
That's what I said.
And then his other album, Blonde, was their number 1 album of the decade.
Wow.
So he had two in the top 10.
Wow.
And then he had a song in the top 10, too, which was Thinking About You from the same album, Channel Orange. But I did divert from that to play this one, which is also great.
So we're just listening to this for the fun of it. We're not... Oh, yeah, you want to rate? Let's on a scale of 1 to 100 rate that song, Super Rich Kids by Frank Ocean. I'm going to give it a 95.
It's like one of your favorite songs, and it gets a 95?
It should be lower?
Well, there are songs that you hear for the first time...
I don't believe in 100.
You know what? No, I'm not going to do this on your birthday. I'm not going to berate you for your scoring tendencies on your birthday.
All you do is judge my judging. And I think that's a 95.
Can't you tell how kind I'm being by not doing that today?
No, I'm not picking that up.
No, me neither.
Hey, Joe, on a scale of 1 to 100, what do you give Super Rich Kids?
I really, really liked it. I'll give it a 40. No, I'm kidding. No, I'll give it a 90. I was really into it. I actually saved it on my playlist on Spotify.
How about you in the newsroom, John Kleppen?
I liked it, too. I'm going to go with a 92 on that one. I'm going to have to save it to my Spotify, though, because that was very enjoyable.
I get the feeling you guys are patronizing me, and I'm 100% okay with that.
Happy birthday, man.
You guys aren't hearing that song for the first time, right?
That's my first time hearing it.
Yeah, me too.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's an album cut. It wasn't a single, and even the singles from that album were... you know, not the biggest hits.
Do I get to use the word woke right now, Griff?
No.
Okay, I won't.
Even on your birthday,
I was about to drop that. All right, fine. Well, yeah,
I can't imagine the context, but either way, no.
I was feeling a little of that.
No.
Since I knew a song they didn't.
That's an incorrect usage.
Okay, well then I'm glad I didn't use it.
I give that usage of woke
a 41.
Let's try 21.
So where are you on Super Rich Kids?
I give it a 100 if you won't. No, I love that song just as much as you do, though. It's probably my favorite song from Channel Orange, which is a stone cold classic. Now, yeah. I wanted to bring up this list for just one other reason, okay. And then I'll get out of the way.
Yeah.
Our bed music, the song we're listening to right now, our Vibe Score music. came in at number 24 on their best songs of the decade. It's It's called Inspector Norse by Todd Terjay.
I did not know that.
From 2012, around the time I was getting into it, around the time we developed this segment, and it made the list. And there's kind of a hilarious write-up of it that I don't know.
You can share it with us.
Well, I'll skip. It's a two-paragraph thing, and I'll get to the second one. Some bliss-out tunes adapt easily to your surroundings, scaling down to soundtrack, housework, or a morning commute. But listening to Inspector Norse on a minor occasion feels scandalous, like hanging a Rembrandt in the bathroom. That made me feel bad about the way we use it, actually.
Really.
We literally use it as bed music. then again, that'd be another classic Terjay prank. Smuggling mystery into the mundane of on neon-lit dance floors, he shows us that nothing's as plain as daylight would have us believe. You know, who's to say what that means?
I don't even know what that means.
This is great.
It's a great song.
Can I ask you guys to score this on a scale of 1 to 100? Chatty CTA drivers. Your bus or your train?
Dislike.
Some of them are working it, and God bless them. They're trying to be cheerful, and I hate to be negative about that. I was reading a Reddit thread about this, and people were loving it. But I'm trying to be open to it. I thought everybody would hate it. Where are you guys?
I think I do get what you're saying. It's a nice. It's somebody attempting to inject some personality into an alert of bad news. Usually,
yeah.
But man, I got my headphones on, and every time I hear that speaker click on, I got to pull one out of the ear. And if it's just some dude rapping some jokes and trying to be like the personality driver, then I'm like, just give me the info. Let me pop this back in.
Where are you, Joe Brown?
It's funny. This conversation reminds me of one of John Mulaney's stand-up routines about the voice in the subway for New York.
Yeah.
Have you seen it, Griff?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. I honestly, I feel like I'm missing something. I take the bus quite a bit, and I don't ever hear my bus driver try to crack a joke or start a conversation.
I think it's more of a train thing, honestly, because I've never heard it on a bus either, Joe, but on the trains I do.
But I mean, you're not like conversing with them, right? So they're just, shooting out one-liners over the speaker system?
Hey, everybody, the next step is Belmont on this beautiful Tuesday. Tuesday! Have a great day! Thanks for riding the CTA.
Right, over the crackly, distorted speaker.
And, you know, that's a guy driving a train making the most of his life, making the most of his work day.
I appreciate the effort, but not everyone's in the mood for that as much as you are. I don't know. It's tough.
I'm working it. This is the new me. I'm going to try and be open to that, because you know what I don't like? Really funny Southwest airline attendants. And I know people love that, but I'm not into
their
whole...
So what's the difference?
Not much, so I guess I need to come around, because I'm there for these CTA drivers.
So what you're saying is you need to start disliking the CTA just to be consistent.
I don't worry about being consistent.
I don't know what come around means.
Well,
here's the deal.
On an airplane, I just want the airplane to fly and land. I don't need any humor.
The CTA, I'm big on that,
I'm less anxious on an EL. So maybe I should be a little more open to it. I generally don't like it, but I'm going to try and give him a pass.
I think that is advisable.
It's funny, because now all these weddings I've been going to, and I hear the priest or whoever's marrying the two people, and they crack these jokes. Like, how many times does this guy use this joke?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I'm just like, how many times are we hearing the reruns of these cracks? So I don't give out my laughs very frugally.
Totally. You got to work a little harder to get a smile from Joe Brand.
Here's what I know everyone who says they don't like the cheery train drivers also doesn't like, is when they're angry and rude to you. You don't like that either. So I think when you get super picky... They're there to do one job, and they can do it however they want.
I mean, are we
so you're going to be saying, hey, don't come at me with your jokes, but you also don't want them to yell at you.
Right.
So it's like, so why don't you behave exactly the way I
be
want
a robot.
You to?
Be a robot. Be emotionally neutral. Get me
line.
To where I'm leaving and from where I'm going, and don't give me any emotion in between.
One smile, no joke. That's in my contract as a CTA.
Not even
writer.
A smile.
No.
I don't even want a smile. Thin line across the mouth.
That's one of the jokes online where I get my Uber car. Driver says nothing. I say nothing. Driver says nothing. I say nothing. 5 stars.
Perfect.
Fantastic.
I mean, I love it.
Honestly, that is what I prefer, but you cannot tell people how to do their job as long as they are doing like the one thing they're supposed to
do.
The
train gets there on time.
Yes, yes.
The Italian government confiscated Prosecco-flavored Pringles. Prosecco and pink peppercorn Pringles, to be exact, because Prosecco is a protected name like Champagne or Roquefort. I'm wondering where you guys are if I had some Prosecco Pringles. Are you in? You want some Prosecco-flavored Pringles?
Yes. 100%, and that sounds exactly like a birthday treat you would bring in.
Which I did not.
Joe, look under your chair.
the little crinkly noises you hear.
I understand the protection of the name, but I'd like to try a Prosecco Pringle. That sounds just a perfect blend of sweet and salt, doesn't it? I'm in.
I like trying these weird flavors that chip companies are cranking out to try and just excite everybody about chips again. I'll try them.
Only time I backed away from innovative food was when they started to put the chili inside the hot dog. The chili was inside the hot dog.
I don't remember that.
And I thought, I can't go there. I don't like the...
You wouldn't do chili on top of a hot dog, though, either, would you?
Probably not.
I'm not a fan of the chili dog in any form, to be honest. And my understanding is that they just open a Pringles can and just dump Prosecco in there.
No, I don't think you end
up with a soggy sort of...
I don't think that's how they do
sick.
It.
It's
which
sick.
Sounds great.
It's more scientific than that.
You have to eat it with a spoon.
Anybody else got anything else for us to rate on our Vibe score of 1 to 100?
Sure. I did a story earlier about these two students in Hong Kong University who developed a self-cleaning handle for doors of public bathrooms, and I'm loving that thing. I'm at 100% because I see people, irresponsible people, just use those bathrooms and dip out without washing all the time, and it's one of my pet peeves. And so, you know, a handle that takes care of that without any assistance is great.
It has a cloth or something that comes around and washes it?
No, it's like this. They use this powder which coats the thing. It's like sprayed over it, and then it gets activated by UV light. And every time it's hit by the light, it kills 99.8% of the bacteria on the handle. And it's connected to a generator which is run by kinetic energy from opening and closing the doors.
Oh, nice.
So it's self-powered, never need to charge it again. And it just kind of, you know, hits with light periodically, and then it's zapped and clean again.
Well, I don't want to rain on your parade there, Joe, because that sounds like a real swell innovation, but I'm not one of these people that's real worried about the germs out there.
I couldn't care less about this. This seems like a big waste of time.
Oh, my gosh.
John, I love it. I love it. I'm 100% the guy that will always use the paper towel to open the door.
Me too.
Put my sleep. But it's not like, I hope it's not an OCD thing, because I definitely deal with that in some other aspects of my life. But, I mean, I flush with my foot. I reach up and it just, hey, if I can avoid it, if I have the opportunity to avoid it, I'm going to.
Totally.
It's either my elbow or my foot every time. And one of my favorite things is when you're able to open the door with your foot on those bathroom doors.
Yeah.
It's great.
I just, if I can avoid it, I'm going to. So I'm 100% on with this invention with the LED handle.
Boy, thank you, Joe.
I'm the exact opposite. I'm passively, aggressively tactile in public places. I touch handles. I'll put my hand on the knob.
Well, it's true. You're putting your face in people's armpits on the CTA, too.
Yeah, like previously mentioned on this show. But I mean, like, I'm like, the species has made it. You know, we've survived.
Not with strangers.
It's a good thing you guys weren't in Rome in the 18th century. I mean, you'd be going, oh, boy, you know, you guys don't wash your hands. Oh, wait, soap hasn't been invented. I mean, come on.
Well, they all died at like 40.
Totally.
Where are your LED handles?
Come on, guys.
I'm actually with
Emperor.
You, though. I don't care. I thought you were going to say you passive-aggressively don't wash your hands.
No.
I'm the opposite of you guys.
This will show Don and Joe.
I haven't showered.
You want to finish that thought, Griff?
In years.
It's 11:51. Amy Guth will stroll into the studio, I think. Probably heard all of this. Maybe she'll elect not to, but we'll see what's coming up afternoon on WGN. Amy Guth has the business hour. By the way, Steve Bertrand does it weekdays. Bertrand just left for his big trip to, he's in, I don't want to say Barcelona, Portugal. Steve's in Portugal. He runs a nice little travel business. A lot of you go with him on the trips, and with some of us, I've taken trips with Steve's business before. The other one we have a nice relationship with here, Amy, is Kelly Cruises. KellyCruises.com. 1 year from today, Brenda and I are going to be in Ephesus and Athens, Santorini, and then up the Dalmatian coast. So part of the Greek Isles and the Dalmatian coast. 1 year from today. I just want to remind everybody, this is the time to sign up. Just Google Regent Splendor. Regent Splendor is the ship we're going to be on. Or go to the Kelly Cruises site, kellycruises.com, to find out more. It's going to be a remarkable trip. And while you're clicking around, dial in Ephesus, because that's one of the great wonders of the world, and we will be there.
That's going to be an amazing trip. Send us postcards.
You've traveled a lot. Have you been over there?
I have not been to that part of the world. I have been fortunate enough to travel a lot, but not to there yet. I'm very jealous, too, of this trip that Bertrand is going on right now.
I know.
That particular part of the world is so beautiful. That's part of my ancestral home, so
I
feel very attached to it. So beautiful, kind of that edge of Spain and France right there, where that border is. So beautiful. So I told him he's going to have an amazing time.
What are you going to do today?
I'm not going to go to Spain and Portugal. Yeah. That's not what I'm going to do. I am going to be talking about a company called CareMerge. It's kind of the idea of caring bridge. You know, when you're in a caretaker role, there's a lot to do. And sometimes it's a bit, you have a lot of people to communicate with. So this kind of helps people manage the communication around that, particularly around senior living. So we're going to talk with the founder of that. And then I'm also going to talk with a regular guest. That's Reed Albergati, who's a reporter at The Washington Post. We're going to talk a little bit about parental controls on Apple products.
Huh.
There's exactly why. That's exactly the right reaction, because, you know, kids can bypass them very easily and sometimes easier than the parents can even set them.
Two perfect topics for our world today. Amy Guth and company coming up after the news.